This is Two Point Conversion with BYU Football, where the Cougars from the gridiron share insights and testimony of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ.
Welcome back to another episode of Two Point Conversion. This has worked out really good. Everybody's schedules aligned.
Let's go.
Right? We're able to make this happen.
I'm actually leaving in about an hour.
Yeah.
So this is perfect.
Yes,
perfect
it's time. Perfect. Chase flies to Israel in an hour.
That's right.
I fly to Vegas.
Good. An hour's all we got. Sacraments an hour. We should not be going over an hour.
Yes, exactly. And then I fly to the Raiders tomorrow morning.
Let's go, baby.
And then our guest today is none other than the legend himself, Jaren Hall, former quarterback at BYU. And thank you to the Seattle Seahawks for releasing him so he
gave
could
me some
be
time,
here.
Baby. Come on.
So he could
come
be
on
here with us.
Give me some time to talk about the doctrine of the kingdom.
Yes, sir. Let's go. No, it was actually funny because I was at Seattle's rookie minicamp last week.
Yeah.
And I was kind of a late add to minicamp. I wasn't expecting to go there. And then I got a call from my agent like, hey, they called. Can you come down for the weekend and do minicamp? And I was like, yeah, of course. And I was like all excited. I was like, oh, man, yeah, I'm going to go hang out with Jaren.
Yeah, you text me like 2 hours after I'm like getting all my stuff together, trying to get my car shipped. I get this text from Connor. He's like, hey, you know, what do they do? I'm like, well,
I'm coming to Seattle, man.
I just got released, like, dude. Well. But, whatever you need help with, you know, I can try.
And it was helpful. Thank you. Thank you. Minicamp went well. So I'm on their callback list, guys, which is positive.
Let's go.
It's awesome.
But obviously, Jaren's a close friend to both of us. How many years did you play with Jaren, Chase? I had three.
I redshirted with, and then I played. Yep.
Okay, so two.
So he got,
two total. Okay,
yep, two total
awesome
years.
Yeah, and obviously Jaren and I are close friends. If anyone knows about anything about center and quarterback, it's an intimate relationship.
Very close.
It's an intimate relationship. I had a lot of trust in him, and thankfully he didn't take advantage of me too many times.
Right. Well, there it is.
We got all the guys.
I just hope all the centers can say this. We have to ask, call James, make sure he feels the same. You know,
want
to make sure everyone's comfortable. And
we've had conversations.
Make sure we did things the right way. You know.
Yes, everything was fine. Everything was fine. Right. I play the position somewhat voluntarily.
Yeah.
Like it is what it is.
I love it. We do got the, you start with the ball, you take it, throw it to me. We got the whole triangle right here. So
that's true.
And now
that
full
crazy
circle.
I mean, that crazy touchdown pass right before halftime against Baylor.
Yeah.
You guys remember that game? That was us three.
Us three.
The ball went from me to Jaren to Chase Roberts, toe touch in the end zone right before half. That was pretty nice.
Full circle. Now we're talking
full
about
moment, man.
Doctrine and Covenants.
Here we are. Mm. That was 2022, right?
Yes, 2022.
So here we are. 3 years later.
Almost three.
Almost three
this September,
2022
right?
season, 2023 season, 2024 season. No, we're coming up on 4 years in the fall.
How do you figure?
22
to 25, 3 years, dog.
Yeah, you're right.
You ain't got to count the fingers.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
2 to 3,
seasons,
2 to 5.
I guess, yeah.
It's all
we're
good.
Coming up.
I guess that spiritual gift's not the strong suit for
no
you either.
No.
It's okay.
Is that listed on here? Hold on.
It is, but you can ask for that one as long as it's
yeah, the
reasons.
Yeah, the gift of knowledge. Unfortunately, not given to me. Yeah, 3 years. 3 years, right?
There you go.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, you know what?
You do have a lot of other great gifts to talk about.
It's okay, Chase. We don't need to overcompensate. Okay. But, all right, Jaren. Thanks for calling me an idiot. Please introduce yourself for the very few of our listeners who are not going to know who you are.
Yep, I'm Jaren Hall, a local dude from, you know, the Provo area. Grew up Provo, Spanish Fork, Mapleton, all, you know, everything along I-15. Played ball here for 5 years, three with you, Connor, and two with Chase.
Mm-hmm.
Loved every second of it. I miss it. Wish I could still be playing. In the NFL now, currently a free agent, just making my way through, trying to figure out what's next. Man, got a beautiful family at home. Bree, my beautiful wife, and Jada May, my almost 4-year-old daughter in July, which is crazy. And then little Kai Kai, my baby boy who just turned one. So, that's
awesome,
my life,
man.
Everything from football to family to obviously faith, and that's what we're talking about today. So I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming on, and that's awesome. You've been an example, I think, to both Chase and me, gospel wise, not only on the football field. So we're grateful that you're here.
It goes both ways.
And I'm glad. I was glad I got a text this morning from Jaren. I'm glad to learn that I am now Jada's little golf buddy.
There you go.
So yeah. Jada came golfing with Jaren and I a couple weeks ago.
Let's go.
And I gave her an excessive amount.
Giving her freaking Kit Kats and Snick. I'm like, dude, I've already given her Starburst and soda and everything, and he's over here. Every time I'm hitting, like, here, Jada, you want some chocolate? Like, dude, don't be that dude, okay? You can take her home. She's going to be all juiced up on sugar, and I'm going to have to deal with it. But, yeah, she wakes up this morning. I want to go golf. Like, okay, we can go next week. She's like, yeah, can your big friend come and give me chocolate? Like, oh, man. So she loves so funny. She loves all the
offers. Hey, she still crashed after Connor. That, right?
Oh, yeah.
She's 4 hours of.
Yeah, bro, she's the best. That was her first time playing 18. She's a trooper. Wow. She loved it, bro. Holes. Had a little golf set out there. She loved it. So
that's awesome.
It was cool.
Well, we're glad you're here because we've been trying to get you on for a while, obviously. And
just had to ask, man.
We've been asking.
This is the first time.
He's a busy guy.
I'm on for June too. Am I still on for that?
We can bring him back.
Yeah, good.
Might as well come back in June, man.
See how today goes. You can change your mind if you need to.
Yeah. No, yeah. We did ask a while ago. You gave us a couple months to.
That's right.
Yeah, but yeah,
I didn't say no. I just said later.
You're here. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you were busy, which is fine.
We appreciate it. But we're really excited to have you on. One thing about Jaren is, because I've had a lot of quarterbacks at BYU, but Jaren, for some reason, when you step on the field with Jaren, like, there's just a calm sense of confidence that, like, the whole team has. And, like, I think Jake has started to get that more. But he's very, like, crazy, like...
Fireball, man.
Fireball, Jake, which is
plays,
awesome.
Jake plays with emotion.
With a lot of emotion.
I love watching that.
But it's cool to see, yeah.
Just different. Every quarterback's different,
but he started to develop a more, and I've told him, like, you've become more of a Jaren over time.
That's a good thing.
I was like, yeah, that's a great thing. So he started to have that confidence presence of Jaren, so...
You guys are all out, man.
We're excited to have, you know, that presence here on the podcast today, and you'll feel it. And as we talk about the gospel and the power of gifts and of just the scriptures.
Yeah, that's a great segue because we're going to be in D&C sections 46 through 48 today. And I mean, 46 is a pretty legendary section, just on spiritual gifts. And how, you know, meetings are to be conducted, you know, how to seek truth. And it's pretty amazing, you know, the promises that are given in this section. And it covers kind of a wide range of topics. And, you know, right off the bat, I remember I was listening to Tyler and Griffin on his podcast earlier this week when I was prepping for this, and I can't remember the name of the guest they had on, but I can't remember if it was Tyler or him who was talking about kind of the history of this and this section and how they had kind of gotten to the point where in sacrament meetings, like if they didn't feel like people were worthy or things like that, they would kick them out of the meetings. Mm. Like it was, so they were taking some commandments to like partake of the sacrament worthily and do all that stuff a little too far. And part of what section 46 was came in response to that. And it starts right off in verse 1. You know, hearken, O ye people of my church, for verily I say unto you that these things were spoken unto you for your profit and learning. You know, kind of like, all right, listen up. Like, mm-hmm. I'm saying this because you're giving me a reason to say it. And he says, but notwithstanding those things which are written, it has always been given to the elders of my church from the beginning and ever shall be to conduct all meetings as they are directed and guided by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And then now in verse 3 is where he's kind of like corrects him on what had been going on, where he says, nevertheless, ye are commanded never to cast anyone out from your public meetings which are held before the world. You are commanded not to cast out anyone who belongeth to the church out of your sacrament meetings. Nevertheless, if any of have trespassed, let him not partake until he makes reconciliation. And so right off the bat, he's kind of like, okay, you're overdoing it, right? You're overdoing it. Like, don't kick people out of the meetings. Like, they should be there.
Yeah.
And like, obviously the sacrament ordinance, that's an individual and personal thing between that person and the bishop and other things like that. But the meetings themselves, we should be happy that people are attending church meetings, not avoiding them, as Elder Holland once said. But I just thought that was an interesting place that they chose to start, or that the Lord chose to start. It's to not cast anybody out, right? That everyone belongs in one of our church buildings, worshiping with
reassuring that everyone has the same opportunity. And that's the center of the gospel, right? This is for everybody, and the Lord's love is for everybody. So, experiencing that love through church and the covenants you make each week and the things you learn is for everybody. And, I always, the more I get into just the gospel and the doctrine, you always wonder why. You start to ask why, why mm-hmm. this? And it's never a question of faith. It's more just curiosity. And so Brother Halverson, I've listened to Brother Griffin and Brother Anthony Sweat and Brother Jared Halverson here. I've started listening to his Unshaken podcast a lot the last year. And I went back a couple years to his last one that he did on this section, and he talked about the history of the saints of the time, coming from kind of a lot of them Puritan backgrounds before they mm-hmm. were converted to the church, and kind of that idea of everyone being the same, not wanting, wolves in sheep's clothing to enter meetings and, prior religions. And so you just start to look at why certain things happen or, why it's not the way we see it today. It's because there's a lot of different experiences that these saints at this time had. They're all coming from extremely religious backgrounds of different faiths that were a little different, rooted in different fundamentals and practices. And so that was interesting just to see for why that was, why it felt like it was such a Puritan background. And a lot of them came from that. And so they were just doing what they felt was right. And the reason we love, open heavens and continuing revelation is because the Lord could then correct that,
Right.
They're trying their best, and now here you are. Here's an opportunity to learn and grow from it.
I love that. Yeah, the power of ongoing revelation, knowing that, no, this isn't the way that we should be doing it. And looking back at the basics, too, I feel like when we look at how Christ did it, like he spent time with the people that probably weren't, mm-hmm. the worthiest or the people that, you'd want in your meetings, I guess. But he spent time with them because he loved them. And I think that's our mindset that we need to have all the time. I know a bunch of people, especially serving a mission, you invite people to come and attend the meetings that are rugged, that, are just one day at a time, just trying to get through that day. And they come to church just seeking peace and hope. And there's a lot of people that judge them, I feel like. I remember I was in a ward with a lot of judgy people, and we had to fix that. And whenever we'd bring, it was hard to bring people to the ward stuff. Because we knew that they were going to get judged. So we need to change, our mindset when it comes to those that might seem, off the path. They're the ones that we need to spend more time with and look after and love and care for and bring into our meetings so that they can feel the Spirit and hopefully, be able to be uplifted and know that Christ and God loves them.
Yeah, because you never know. It could be that one positive interaction that they have with members when they come to church.
Exactly.
That could be the catalyst for them either returning to the faith or coming to the faith mm-hmm. or being strengthened in that faith. Mm-hmm. And on the flip side, as unfortunate as it is, one negative interaction about feeling judged or things like that by members can ruin the experience for someone forever. I met so many people in the mission field and friends here who are no longer active. And a lot of them, it has to do with because negative experiences that they've had with church members being judgmental, mm-hmm. right?
That's
and
I hard think to hear.
Really, it sucks. It sucks so bad.
It's frustrating.
Because that's, that's contrary to what we believe.
Absolutely it is.
Right? Fundamentally. And B, it should be our default to be kind to people. And I think one of the things, I think this section can be a little bit stinging for people in Utah, right? Because the church culture here, not church doctrine, mm-hmm. the church culture here is a lot more judgmental than it is other places, right? And I remember leaving and going on my mission to Washington, D.C., and it did not matter who we brought to the ward. They were fired up that we had people there. We had dudes coming in covered in tattoos, right? Blue hair, the whole nine, like everything, rugged, homeless looking. And they were so excited that they were there. Mm-hmm. And if I'm being 100% honest, I couldn't do that here. If I brought some people that I took to church on my mission to our ward here, there'd be a lot of weird looks.
They'll get some looks. And,
right? People would avoid
unfortunately.
Them. And I think that's a major thing that we need to fix. We love to get up from the pulpit here and talk about how the two great commandments, to love God, love your neighbor, and we rarely practice it, unfortunately, outside of our own community.
Right.
is what I'm trying to say. I feel like we do a great job within the family, right? But I think sometimes we struggle outside of the family.
I've always just felt, obviously, we have all grown up here. We've all served missions outside of here and come back and have the same thoughts. I feel like it's almost like when we're in our families with our brothers and sisters, we can be very rough around the edges with them. You
that's
know?
A good point.
Very straight to it. And that's okay within the family because we always have more time to see them again and also reassure with love, right? When you're making mistakes when you're acting different than what we know as a family, you're going to correct each other pretty harsh ways, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's like, it's okay. It's in that situation with our actual families, brothers and sisters, cousins, you know, people you see all the time, close friends. But when people come into our community from other places, I don't want to say our community, it sounds like it's this little, you know, group, but when they come here to where we were raised in Utah, and it's a first experience, or they're just around for a little bit, or someone's new off the streets, you know, that's not a member of the church, is coming in to see, and they're not used to the way we act with each other. I think a lot of times we're so used to the church being practiced in our home and speaking to each other a certain way that we're comfortable and not even thinking about, you know, it's a little different speaking to someone who's not used to that dynamic of family and how we, you know, teach each other and correct each other. And so I don't ever think it comes from a place of ill will when that happens and you hear those stories of people getting offended because a member in the church said something or, you know, hear all the time like a bishop or a leader or a Lead Society president, whoever it is. I think it always comes from a good place of trying to help each other. And, you know, the righteous judgment is what we see in the scriptures. It is okay.
Right.
But it's got to come, you know, you got to think about what you're doing first. Like, good inspiration comes from good information is what, you know, my mission president would always say in the last half of my mission. And I always hear that in meetings. And so even those interactions at church, you know, before we speak, you know, your parents always say, think before you speak. And I think in those situations, as I think about it, I think we're just too comfortable at times being in the place where we're all dressed up in our shirt and tie and we all feel like we're on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
But you just got to remember, it, you know, how would the Savior do it? You know, and maybe he'd be more sharp with certain people, but he knows them. You know, he gave his life for them. He knows that person very, very intimately. We don't. And so it should always come from a place of looking at the best that they have, looking at the things that are positive, and you make sure it's a place where they can feel the Spirit. And then as they come along, as people come along, they'll change based on how they feel the Spirit versus us trying to call out that change right away or feeling like we, just because we know somebody or we like them or kind of them, we can just say what we want. I just think sometimes we just don't think about how it's going to come across, plain and simple. And it's not the same as being in your family with your brothers and sisters. It's just a little bit different. And I've never really thought about that till now, and that just kind of hit my brain. Maybe you guys think differently, but you do hear from all teammates coming from other places on your mission, like everyone thinks Utah's a little different, you know, in the church culture, and it is, but that's not the church culture. It's just the Utah culture, right? Because the church culture is a culture of Christ. You know, they speak about that in conference and that's what we need to separate, right? Is this the church culture of the Savior? And then unfortunately, like the more negative parts of the Utah culture, which every city, every state has a bad culture and has parts that need to change. And that's just ours.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. And I think, too, we kind of have to have some self-awareness of where we're at. We're not in the majority in Utah anymore. A lot of people are coming here. And I think last time I checked, it's only 42 or 43% members of the church in Utah now. Right? And so there are more member or people who are not of our faith than who are. You know? And it's – and on this out of that same vein, you never know what challenges people are going through. You know, you never know what doctrinal questions or other personal life challenges people are going to, because another part of that Utah culture is everyone likes to put on the perfection, right? That's all they show on social media.
Everything from financial perfect, my house, my cars, my everything. Everything's nice, dude. Everything. It's exhausting.
Everyone looks great at church. All the kids look perfect, but everyone's got their stuff. Right.
Was it Elder Anderson? I think it was 2017. I remember on my mission. He gave, I think it was Elder Anderson, or maybe it was Elder Stevenson. Showed the picture of the Instagram post that was zoomed in on the cupcakes, and then he zoomed it all the way out, and the kitchen's a mess. You know, there's the mom is really frustrated because the kids are all crazy, and he just brought up that point of you choose to show everybody what's perfect all the time.
Right.
But really, as we're consuming those pictures and information, we should realize there's more to this picture. Like, we shouldn't judge and compare to that because behind the scenes, behind those cute cupcakes on the counter, there is a mom going crazy, the father's going crazy, the kids are going nuts, and that's normal, right? That's part of life.
Yeah.
But we just built up this perfection in everything not related to spiritual matters, right? That's right. Where we're trying to be perfect, spiritual matters between our relationship with the Savior. Right. And we lose that when we try to blend spiritual with the rest of our life. That's what we're doing, right? Everything's a blend. Work, school, everything should be blended. But it's to a fault at times, and I think it's when we see stuff like that, like you mentioned.
Yeah, and my point with that is just saying, like, you got to be careful what you do and what you say, because you don't know what people are going through. As someone, it could look, at face value, you just see that cupcake, right? And it looks like their life is totally perfect, and you make some stupid offhanded comment that could really offend somebody, right? And you don't realize it.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of that all the time. You guys both know this. I tend to just say whatever pops into my head, and it gets me into trouble sometimes. You just ask Cleon, our producer. He edits these episodes a lot because I say stupid things. But, you know, and that's one of the things that I'm trying to work on, is I'm trying to understand that, you know, everyone has their stuff that they're going through, right? And what matters is what it says in verse 5. So it just talks about, right, in verse 4, let him not partake unless they make reconciliation, right? Like, that's a personal matter between the bishop, sacrament, their personal repentance process. That's none of our business, right? And then it says, and again, I say unto you, shall not cast out of your sacrament meetings or, who are earnestly seeking the kingdom, right? And it's like, look, that may look very different for very different people. It's going to look different for everybody. But those who are earnestly seeking the kingdom deserve our respect, right? And then having like a little bit of understanding, right? And for us to just know that not everybody thinks or sees things the way we think or see things.
I've caught myself a lot, especially talking with just friends casually about when we look through Instagram or whatever, we're always judging. We're always making like these comments that seem harmless at times, but
to each other and
just like, look at these, like, and you're judging so much. And then I always think back at just the, you know, one of the most famous Bible stories of, you know, cast the first stone, those that are sinless among you. And I'm like, I do these same things. Like I just need to realize that just to stop, just to stop like having that casual conversation. 'Cause it is, it might seem funny and it might seem fun at times, and we always send, you know, different reels to
memes
each other.
And stuff.
Yeah, memes and stuff, just like idiots, you know, like stuff like that.
Hope
when
that's
in reality,
not on a report card one day.
exactly. But I think the biggest thing, and we'll get into it, is being able to really have the Spirit with you and seeking that gift of discernment. And as it talks about in verse 8. You know, beware lest ye are deceived, that ye may not be deceived. Seek ye earnestly the best gifts, always remembering for what they are given. And if we can pray earnestly in the morning to have that gift of discernment, to not judge, to be loving, to be like Christ, I think that, you know, that goes away, that judgy mentality. And we're able to kind of look at ourselves and just improve ourselves and know that, you know, we're at fault. Everyone's at fault.
Everybody.
Yeah. And just to try a little bit better, to seek those gifts and to use that in your life. And I don't know. I
love that.
I need to be better. You know,
we all do.
Well, all of us. You know, it's true. And I think one thing I've been trying to work on, just as we jump into spiritual gifts here, is I think it goes a long way when you recognize and point out the spiritual gifts of others. Like I'm trying to do a better job of when I, cause sometimes I don't recognize it all the time. Like, oh, maybe someone just did something nice for me or something like that. But then realizing that that's, you know, a specific spiritual gift that they have, you know, I've been trying to do a better job being like, hey, I've noticed since I've known you, you're wonderful at this. And like, thank you for that. And like, I feel like that goes a long ways.
Yeah.
Towards helping and reinforcing someone.
Yeah. Encourage them to use it more and to think about it more, because that's something we don't think about. That was my whole realization, like reading this section, getting ready for this, is how important these spiritual gifts are. Mm-hmm. Like to the furtherment of you know, gathering Israel and missionary work and our relationships. Like these are the tools that we're given. As football players, we have our tools. We have our playbook. We have the weight room. We have nutrition. Like, we have so many tools. We learn our craft and our moves on the field. Like, those are our tools for success. And these spiritual gifts are huge tools for our success in gathering Israel and finding peace. And I can't tell you the last time I actually thought about spiritual gifts or, you know, receiving more, you know, for the right reasons and actually thinking about fine-tuning this. And so this is a great section. I'm excited to get into this.
Yeah, it emphasizes it a lot in verse 10. It says, "And again, verily I say unto you, I would that ye should always remember and always retain in your minds what those gifts are that are given unto the church." And how cool that, I guess, just emphasizing what you were saying is they're important.
Yeah.
They're things that we need to always retain in our minds and remember, and it's for the benefit of building the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Right.
For the church, right? The last sentence is for the church, given right. unto the church.
And not for our own. Yeah. It also gives a warning that, you know, it can be, people will consume it upon their lusts in the verse before. So remembering that it is for the church. Yeah, that's a good thing to emphasize.
And even in verse 9 too, you know, it's given for the benefit of those who love me and keep my commandments and him that seeketh to do so. Yeah.
And I guess that's what brought on this whole section, right, is at the time a lot of the new members and, you know, the church was only a year old at this time, so everyone's a new member.
Right.
But coming from other faiths and other, you know, places to look at spiritual gifts and how the Spirit manifests, you see a lot of different stuff. And I guess that's why, you know, Joseph was prompted to, or the Lord was willing and wanting to give him this revelation because the members were concerned about why different people were acting different ways. And is this from God? Is this from the devil? It's kind of weird what they're doing, the way they're acting and what they're. And so, you know, I love how it differentiates what's from God and what's not. And you know, we get into that further on, but that kind of sparks why this whole section came about.
Right, because they needed to know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important. I think 11 is great context, too, before it jumps in to start listing off some of these spiritual gifts. It says, "For all have not every gift given unto them, for there are many gifts, and to every man is given a gift by the Spirit of God." So I think it's important that people understand. Like, for me, it's like, okay, right? I read this, I'm like, okay, I know that, you know, not everyone is given every single spiritual gift, right? Maybe a very select few throughout history have had a lot of them. But on the flip side, it says to every man is given a gift. Like you have one or multiple of these. Like that is promised by God. All right. It's guaranteed. And hopefully, you know, all of us have the first one. Right. And, you know, in 12, it says to some is given one and to some is given another that all may be profited thereby. I think it's pretty amazing when, you know, it differentiates. Some have other gifts, some have different gifts, but everyone profits together when we bring those together.
When we bring them together for each other, we're all receiving it. Like, hey, I don't have this. That stinks. Why don't I? Well, someone else does, and because of that, you'll receive the same blessings.
You'll benefit.
So it doesn't matter if you haven't. Like, that's again, like.
And there's plenty you bring to the table that they're going to benefit from.
Yeah.
Right? And I think it goes back to, like, just the concept that equal is not the same. Right, you can bring things to the table that benefit everybody, and it's okay to have someone else pick up the slack in the areas you lack. Yeah.
We see that in the Book of Mormon all the time. Yeah. Right, different prophets are great at speaking. Some are great at writing. Others are great at you know, performing miracles. That's another spiritual gift, right? Every person that is, you know, influential, and what causes them to be influential in the right way is because their heart's in the right place. And so, if you can remember that, you know, you pray for your weaknesses, you recognize them, but you also You discover the gifts you have and you use them because you know that's what God wants you to do.
Right.
And it all works out together. You know, that's the idea of Zion, coming together and building that kingdom.
Exactly. And it builds your faith seeing people exercise their gifts.
Absolutely.
I have an uncle who he has the gift of healing. And we all know that. The whole family knows that. So whenever we get sick, whenever things happen, we go to him. And he heals us. Like, it's miraculous. It really is.
I've never heard. That's amazing.
I know. And like,
that's wild. Yeah.
He's my he's my uncle. And he has, when he gives blessings, like, everyone in the family knows, they're going to be healed. And, or,
all right, what if you're being a knucklehead on your bike mom and dad said, don't go on your bike, you bust your leg?
There's still some caveats and things. yeah, go on.
I'm sorry.
No, yeah. And he's, it's pretty amazing though to see his faith and also the faith of the family and everyone else that asks him to give him a blessing.
That's awesome.
So that's just kind of a little story, a little insight that I've seen that it's real, and that gifts, they happen and they're part of my life.
Well, if I get dome rocked again on the 1 yard line, I'll let you know. Next time I play, I'm gonna holler at you, Uncle. Yeah. I can't get a quick blessing.
Well, no, let's come back to that. Let's table that when we get to verses 19 and 20, when we talk about the faith to heal, but also the faith to be healed.
Yeah.
Right. But in 13, I love that this is where it starts. It says, to some it is given by the Holy Ghost to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he was crucified for the sins of the world. I think sometimes, I know I definitely haven't thought of my testimony of the Savior as a spiritual gift, right? But that is the first one listed here. And I love that that's what leads it out, because without that understanding, none of these other spiritual gifts even matter, right? And then in 14, to others it is given to believe on their words that they might also have eternal life if they continue faithful. It's like, you may not have the gift of knowing by the Holy Ghost yet that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but you may have the gift to believe.
Just to believe on it, right?
Right.
Have a desire to believe.
And I always like to think back to the premortal life and those who, you know, get put in certain circumstances here on earth. And I'm sure those that didn't have the opportunity to be born in a household that grew up with faith in Jesus Christ, but yet they have the gift of once they do hear it, let's say the missionaries show up their door, they're ready.
Ready.
They have that gift, and that is given by God. And once they hear Jesus Christ died for your sins, they know, and they're faithful, and they believe. And it's cool to see. I mean, we saw that on our missions, mm-hmm. the people that were just ready, that didn't know and haven't felt that before, and were just waiting for you to knock on their door.
So true. And, you know, like I said before, I love that this is the foundation that all the gifts are placed, I guess, with Jesus Christ being first. Because I think so many times we forget that everything we believe in this gospel means nothing without him. None of it works, right? And I feel like sometimes, again, this might be an area of improvement for me, but I get so irritated when people get up to bear their testimonies and the first thing they say is that they know the church is true. And it's like, okay, why are we regurgitating that same phrase first over and over and over, when why is it true? And then maybe after a few other things, they give their travel log or whatever bull crap they're giving in this testimony, right? Like, we're so blessed that my husband made enough money for us to go to Europe. And I'm like, okay, wow, this is an awesome talk. Like, I don't know if this is fit for a testimony meeting. But,
tough.
But then at the very end, they just slip in there. They're like, hey, I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. Right. Right? Almost like it's an afterthought.
That's the afterthought, the end.
And that, that should be first. That should be at the forefront of our
Don't judge people, Connor.
I'm trying, Chase. I really am.
Attaboy, Chase.
I really am.
Attaboy, Chase. That is family accountability right there.
I really am. I'm getting better at it. Trust me. I used to be worse.
Let's talk to your dad, man. He's bishop.
I know. I did. Don't worry. Okay, so I'm going to out myself a little bit.
Don't do it.
But there's some people, like the people get up during fast and testimony meeting at church when I'm at home. My dad's the bishop. And they'll go off and give some crazy testimony, and I'll text him and be like, wow, Bishop, this is really how you want it to start?
She's up there. Gets
and then he texts me back and goes, well, get up here and do something about it. And I'm like, oh, crap. You know, like,
there you go.
That's what
I'll
you
get up
get,
there
dude.
Bear my testimony in 15 seconds and sit down. no, my point with that is just that there's a reason, and we've mentioned this before as we've gone through these sections on the podcast. Almost every single section starts off with Christ declaring who he is, right? And it gives credibility, not that he needs like credibility, he already has it, but he's establishing the fact that like, look, this is of me at the start of almost all these sections. And I think it's no different that as they start off the outline of these spiritual gifts, it starts with him.
Yeah.
Right, because he is the source.
And I wonder if even at that time, that's what the brothers and sisters of the church needed, right? Continuing revelation wasn't a thing. Joseph was the first one that, you know, was reinstituted through when Heavenly Father and the Savior visited him and told him he'd be restoring it. And I wonder if they just need that constant reminder. Every time Joseph brought something new, with all of the lack of faith people had at certain times, as, yeah, you know, when Joseph had his struggles financially or other things that he, you know, and he puts out there, I'm not good at these things, they're my weakness. And then he, bang, he followed up with another spiritual revelation. I wonder if even at that time they needed to be reassured that this is me, the Lord, speaking, okay? Yeah. And I'm doing it through Joseph. Mm-hmm. This is me. I'm the Savior. Yeah. This is, you know what I mean? And for us, we look at it now like, okay, we're, you know, 200 years later, and we know the Doctrine and Covenants is, and we know it's from the Lord, but put yourself in their shoes, and how amazing to, like, see that every revelation you get, however Joseph rolled it out each time, like, the Lord is again speaking to us, and again, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it in context, it's like, for us, that's if, like, President Nelson every few months
right
was coming out with, you know, a new section of
the Lord's
stuff.
Speaking word for word again, right?
And he does from time to time. It hasn't taken the form of a section in the Doctrine and Covenants in a long time, but you know, that these church members are like, okay, hey, here it comes. Mm-hmm. Joseph's like, all right, this is what I got. This is what it says. We're going to figure it out, right? This is how it goes. And I think also that kind of ties into 15, you know, when it talks about the gift of the differences of administration, right? And again, to some it is given by the Holy Ghost to know the differences of administration, as it will be pleasing unto the same Lord according as the Lord will, suiting his mercies according to the conditions of the children of men, right? Like, there's going to be changes in administration, right? And I think one of the huge criticisms of the church, at least now, is that the administration does change sometimes.
Right.
And people are like, oh, well, if it's really true, it's never going to change. And it's like, actually, like, it's actually a spiritual gift, to the contrary.
Right, that each of these different people can have.
Right.
Pick up right where the other left off, at a different tune, but it's the same gift from the same creator of that gift.
Right, exactly. And it's not, and that's not to say that some people don't take it too far, right? That certain individuals, church leaders, you know, sometimes they take their own personal liberties, these differences of their administration, a little too far. It happens. But I think that was also one where I was like, oh, I never thought about that. The administration aspect of the church, you know, as a spiritual gift.
Right.
And I guess now of watching up close my dad be a bishop, I kind of see it now more so. Like, he relies heavily on that gift, on to know how to administer.
How amazing, though, that the Lord thinks of all those things. Like, looking from the outside in, like, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is so detailed, down to how every decision happens, to the spiritual gifts it takes to happen. It always just reaffirms my testimony. And I know it's the number one thing for critics in anti-Mormon literature, everything you can read and see, all the arguments against it. But find me another church in this world that is as detailed from, and this isn't even like, you start with just the doctrine we have, faith, repentance, baptism, everything. And that's the most important part, right? That's what leads to our testimony and faith in the Savior. But then you get beyond that to, like, how it operates, and you see this, just the simple gift of administration to make sure the kingdom is run properly. And by the how it blows me away how much we can learn, and how you realize the Lord has looked at every single thing possible. Heavenly Father has looked at everything possible to have the Savior administer to the prophets to then give to us. And it's miraculous. It's unbelievable.
We brought Bridget Madrian, the dean of our Marriott School, or the business school here, and everything she does at the Marriott School is from Doctrine and Covenants, which is pretty amazing, just to show that.
It was, listening to her outline, that was pretty amazing.
It was amazing. It was all principles that came from revelation through Joseph Smith on how to, like, run the church, and how to run a business, and how to do things, and that's what she does, and that's why it's one of the best business schools in the nation. It's pretty amazing to see, like you were saying, you go back into what we actually are learning and what this church is all about and how Christ lays it all out for us. Like, we have
it's
it.
All, I mean, continue like, no revelation. Other, there's going to be
amazing.
New stuff, sure, but to this point, I mean,
it's is amazing.
Foolproof.
I know.
It's
got so much.
It was so cool to see how she took what she learned being the dean of Harvard's business school.
Yeah.
Wow. Or being at Harvard Business School. Was she the dean? I can't remember. Or was that?
I think she taught. I don't know.
She taught. Yeah. It was.
I don't know if she was the dean, but
it was Elder Clark who was the dean.
Yes.
Right? It was Elder Clark who was the dean. So she taught. It was cool to see what she talked about what she learned in the administration at Harvard, then combining it with spiritual principles here at the Marriott School. Mm-hmm. She said that was one of the funnest things, if I remember right, is being able to take all this amazing stuff, because she is incredibly smart, mm-hmm. like an incredibly successful business-wise, yeah. and to be able to come to BYU and to merge these principles and to make it incredibly successful, it was so cool. It was so cool to see and how it all and I think that goes into 16 too, right? Knowing the diversity of operations, right? And she outlined all the operations of the business school and how she felt that the way she had set it up is how it was all tied into, you know, not only successful business strategies, but also successful spiritual strategies. And it was really cool.
And I think we've seen that in football too. Like when we align our study of the playbook with gospel principles and when we pray beforehand, like stuff like that, that we integrate our spirituality with the business side or the intellectual side, it always makes it better.
Goes together.
Goes Absolutely. Together. And it makes it, you gain that confidence on the field. And
well, that happened to me this weekend.
Yeah.
Right? Like in rookie minicamp, they essentially, for those of you who don't know how it works, you get there. The first day is kind of a physical day. Like you go, you see the doctor, you do all this stuff, you go to the equipment staff, get all your stuff. And then that night, they give you the playbook with the installs that you're expected to be able to run the next day. Mm-hmm. Right? And for me, this is my first time learning essentially a whole new system. Like I had been in BYU's offense for 4.5 years, I knew it like the back of my hand. And like I'm given, you know, 40 or 50 pages of install that I have to learn the next day. Right. And so you go in and I'm in the hotel, you know, that night, just studying a bunch, go up the next day, you get up, you go in early so you can study kind of together. Me and some of the other centers, we kind of studied together because the IDing system they use was a little complicated. And we just wanted to make sure we had it right. And go out to practice that first day. And I did okay, but I missed a couple on the IDs. And I was like, man. And I remember coming back to the hotel that night after the first day of practice. And then you have to move on to install 2 for the next day. So it's like another 50 pages put on top of the stuff you just learned. And I felt like I hadn't quite had a grasp all of it already. And I remember my roommate had fallen asleep. And I was just in this playbook. And I was just like, man, like there were just a couple things that for whatever reason I just could not wrap my head around. And I remember that I was just like, okay, I kind of like looked over, checked that he was asleep and kind of got out of bed and just knelt down and got on my knees and just prayed and asked for help. Right. And, you know, I was like, look, I'm studying my butt off. Like, I feel like I'm doing my part. Like, I just need a little extra, like, just give me a little extra juice here that I can understand this. And went out the next day and had zero mental errors in practice. I woke up the next morning. For some reason, I opened up that playbook and it clicked for me. And I was like, okay, I understand how they do these IDs and stuff. Cause I mean, obviously Jaron was in that offense for a little while. And you know, for me, I was struggling with I just had to remember Mike declared, box declared, tight end declared, all that stuff. And all of that changed my responsibility at center. And you just had to memorize the tags, right? Cause it was all 18, 19 or 15, 16 for zone plays. But the tag, whether it was release or structure or other things like that, slot, all of those little words changed who the mic point was going to be for me. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it was like, I was just struggling with that. And I remember coming back day 2 after, you know, asking Heavenly Father for a little bit of help, clicked for me the next day. Right? And it's amazing. You know, that's a spiritual gift right there. You know, some are given, you know, the gift to, have knowledge, right? And I needed just a little bit more to be able to execute my job. Right. And thankfully the Lord gave it to me. But okay, let's keep going. Where were we? We're in 17 here. Okay. So now they kind of go off. These are a little shorter to kind of just start listing off some pretty amazing things. And again, verily I say unto you, to some it is given by the Spirit of God the word of wisdom. And not to be confused with the actual word of wisdom, right? If you click on wisdom and you read some of the footnotes, you realize that it's actually wisdom itself. Mm-hmm. Right? And to another is given the word of knowledge, that all may be taught and be wise and have knowledge.
Going back, though, I guess, to wisdom and knowledge, the word of wisdom, we can put that together, actually, with the actual word of wisdom. I know there's a lot of people that just understand how to keep their body healthy, and they follow the word of wisdom, yet have never heard our doctrine on it or our stance on the word of wisdom and what we avoid. And I've met many people that, I don't do any of that stuff because I'm sure they're feeling their intuition that it's bad for me.
Right.
It's not something I don't want to be relying on. It's something that's addictive. And so going back, we can kind of actually,
it's true,
I guess, put the word of wisdom into the word of wisdom, you know?
I guess there's a reason it's called a word of wisdom.
Yeah, there you go.
Just being smart. No, that's a good point, Chase. Thank you. And, you know, I think in 18, the word of knowledge, I think, that all may be taught to be wise and have knowledge. I feel like that's anytime you've been around a pretty good teacher, like they have, it seems like they have that spiritual gift, the ability to teach and to not only understand and have wisdom, right, but also have the ability to express it and teach it. I think those are separate.
Clearly to where we can
separate
understand
gifts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, and this is going back, maybe you can go into a little more detail on some experiences you've had here with your family, Chase, but 19 and 20, and again, to some it is given to have the faith to be healed, and to others it is given to have faith to heal. So I think that's pretty cool where your uncle clearly has the faith to heal. But I think one of the things that gives that faith some real efficacy is the fact that everyone in your family has faith in his ability to heal.
Yeah.
Right? And so I don't know if there's some experiences you wanted to share.
Yeah,
with that,
I mean, just general.
You don't have to go into details. Of obviously, a lot are probably pretty personal. But.
I think just from what I've shared, before that, there's been many instances, and I think it starts obviously with the faith in Christ that my uncle has, and through his patriarchal blessing, he's given the gift of healing, and that faith that we believe that he actually does have that gift. That faith in Christ that he has, the faith in Christ that we have, that this is divine, his patriarchal blessing, and that we can go to him to be healed. I think there's been many instances that I've seen that it has worked.
Better be careful how much we talk about your uncle, man. You better have random people showing up at the house. It's like, what's that, Robots movie?
I won't say any names.
When he goes into the city, starts repairing all the beat-down bots, and then he's got this line down the city.
Yeah, that's what he's
about to be your uncle's house after this.
That's funny.
Oh, that's amazing.
No, yeah, I mean, I won't.
It's not like Chase's DMs aren't full enough. Now people are going to be DM'd and be like, hey, man, I'm not feeling too well. You think your uncle's available?
Yeah, I won't say any names, but he's pretty amazing.
That's miraculous. That's awesome.
And again, to some is given the working of miracles. And I think all of us in some form or another have seen, you know, some miracles work through because of, you know, that gift that others have had. I know I have definitely had some miracles worked through other people, right, that have really benefited me. And to others, it is given to prophesy. And to others, the discerning of spirits. And again, it is given to some with speak with tongues. And another is given the interpretation of tongues. And all these gifts come from God for the benefit of the children of God. And this is, this last little section, unless any of you have anything to say on any of those gifts that we just read through a little bit. I think one of the coolest parts of this section for me is kind of 27 through the end, where it says, "And unto the bishop of the church, and unto such as God shall appoint and ordain to watch over the church, and to be elders unto the church, are to have it given unto them to discern all those gifts, lest there shall be any among you prophesying and yet not, or be not of God." I think it's cool that it kind of puts three categories of people who qualify for that. The bishop, obviously, right, has some priesthood keys and some extra responsibilities. But then unto anyone who God appoints and ordains to watch over the church. So when you think about, take that at face value, that is literally anyone with a calling, right? And you're set apart and ordained to that calling. You qualify for this. And the elders of the church, given unto them to discern all those gifts. So take elders quorum, relief society presidents, young men's presidents, young women's presidents, primary presidents.
I think the big one is our missionaries out in the mission field.
Yeah, for sure.
I remember my mission president getting everyone together and just with a loud kind of demanding, like, do you guys realize the power that you have? Like the significance of your calling? And it just kind of hit me like, wow, we help people enter the waters of baptism. We can declare repentance to people. And it's, we need to understand that. We need to grasp it and take it in and realize it gives us that confidence to go out and do it. A lot of the times we're very timid. We're very, you know, low key. But we have callings in the church that we can fulfill with power, with the power of God. And I don't think we're taking advantage of that as much as we should. And to have that confidence as we declare repentance and we help people come unto Christ in our whatever callings we have in the church now.
And I think aside from, to piggyback off of that, if it's, you know, it's our own timidness that keeps us from wanting to do that, if it's just ignorance and not knowing it, or if it's like worry that we're going to overstep and do too much.
Yeah.
I love like that also clarifies another role of the bishop is to make sure everything stays in order. It's not that he has all this power, but just think about, you know, God is a God of order, our Heavenly Father. Everything is in order. The Savior, they're working together hand in hand with the Spirit. We have a lot of things that we need to believe on faith. And then we have works to do, ordinances to keep, and we learn and grow. But it's like this step of faith to works, the faith to works, the faith to works, in growing experiences. But then you look at, okay, now I'm using these gifts. How do I know if they're from the Lord? How do I know if they're not? Am I using them correctly? Am I overdoing it? I love that the bishop is the one who oversees that. You know, it says that he is to discern all these gifts that shall be any among you professing and yet be not of God. And that was the worry when this section was given, right? People were acting out in certain ways, claiming it was a spirit, speaking in tongues, acting different things. And those things are all gifts, but how are they using it? Are they using it to show it as a talent? Are they using it to bless others? And it's amazing to see that the Lord already knew there come a time where people will be using these gifts for the wrong reason or not having it, professing they do. And it says right there, we have another person ordained from Heavenly Father to our Savior down to the bishop, you know, that line of authority given to be the one who's given the keys to oversee that for all of us. If there's questions, are these being used correctly? Well, it says there, the bishop is the man who holds the keys to discern that. And so we don't ever have to wonder, you know, now we still have to have faith that the bishop is called and we ordain him and you should. That's the beautiful part of the gospel again. That's on us to also believe him. You know, that he is going to have the right say if that were to ever come up. So I just love just seeing the structure that Heavenly Father has for all these things in the Lord. And there's nothing they haven't thought of. And just to even have the bishop to be able to discern these gifts for all of us, it's amazing. I just love that part.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I think it's almost a form of like spiritual checks and balances.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Exactly.
And I think too, like, you know, obviously in the age of social media and stuff, people love to highlight, right, the in the whole scheme of things, the very few, right, unrighteous uses of priesthood by bishops and other leaders.
Oh, yeah, they're going to blow that stuff up. Yeah,
they'll state make presidents, that bishops. A giant story, right, when it doesn't happen as often as they want to portray. And I always go back to just D&C 121, right? Very specific list of things. If they even toe the line of using that priesthood unrighteously, I mean, it uses that phrase, amen. To the priesthood of that man.
Amen.
Right? And so, you know, the second that priesthood begins to be used unrighteously, it loses all power. Mm-hmm. Right? And I think that that's also an important thing to remember is that, you know, while we are given the opportunity to administer God's priesthood, he still holds its power and Absolutely. He can take it from you in an instant.
Absolutely.
All right. If you're not using it righteously,
brothers and sisters,
which
alike.
For me gives me confidence, right? Where it's like, okay, like there's something weird's going on. And you know, like that, well, I know like, okay, that's, you know, and I see those stories and it's like, okay, well that man clearly wasn't operating under the priesthood, right? Cause it's clearly been taken from him. right? And that gives me confidence, right? That the Lord is not going to allow his priesthood to be abused, right? It's going to have to be that person not using their priesthood, but their status, yeah. Right? And abusing that status. But just the last part here before we transition into just closing testimonies. I think verse 30 is really interesting. And you know, it's something that I'm still learning, still struggle with sometimes, where you hear this scriptural promise all the time, right? Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, that kind of stuff. But in 30, it gives one little caveat to that. It says, he that asketh in the spirit asketh according to the will of God, wherefore it is done, even as he asketh. I think that is so interesting, where it's like, look, if you ask by the Spirit and it's in line with the will of God, you're going to get it.
You're going to get it.
Like, it's a given. You're going to get it. And that's the part that's sometimes hard for me, where it's like, man, and I have to, even though I get frustrated, I have to remind myself and understand, like, okay, I didn't get exactly what I asked for. Maybe it wasn't quite the will of God.
Yeah.
Maybe I was close, but I wasn't quite there.
Right. It's just like going off of Chase and your uncle, like healing and the miracles. I remember I believe it was Elder Bednar. I mean, it's really quick, obviously wrapping up, but it just made me think about, he talked about that as an example of healing, having the faith to be healed, and we all should. But what if it doesn't work? That was the example he was using. But what if you aren't healed? And then he posed the question, do you have the faith to not be healed? Right? Do you have the faith still, even if it doesn't work as you would like it to, and you had faith in the person giving you a blessing, or you had faith in the doctors, and it doesn't work, do you still have the same faith to not be healed and to know that you're still going? So, I appreciate you guys letting me be on, as we're wrapping up. I love having an opportunity to be around just good guys like you. I love both of you very much, and I've had the blessing to spend a lot of time around you in school and on the field, and now here speaking about the words of our Lord. And it's just a special place being here at BYU, and I love being on campus every time. And so thank you guys. I'm reminded every time I'm in these scenarios of how blessed I am to have wonderful people around me, people that have beautiful gifts. People have beautiful families in their lives. That is all that, you can ask from this life. You see the way the world is changing around us. But every general conference, every Sunday at church, every lesson given, it's, just a reminder that, we are to enjoy those things and appreciate those good things. But I truly have a testimony that we're to use these gifts, right? Find out what our gifts are. Build them up, pray for them, and then try to bless those around us. Start in our families and work our way out. And, I just believe that we all have so much good inside of us. And it just starts with loving our Savior, starts with wanting to be like Him. And, if it feels overwhelming, you go from there. Start with faith. And the more your spirit grows, the more desire you'll have to reach out and to bless people's lives. Like, Joseph did, taking on this task to write these sections and be diligent in receiving them for us. So, I'm just grateful for the Savior. I'm grateful for you guys, grateful for my family. And I know these things bless our lives and bless those around us. And so, I leave that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Jaron. I ditto, everything that you've shared. It's all centered on Christ, and I love that emphasis of this section of the Doctrine and Covenants. It's about Him. In verse 31, I say unto you, all things must be done in the name of Christ, whatsoever you do in the Spirit. And then to end, and you must practice virtue and holiness before me continually. And I know that as we strive to always be virtuous and clean and holy and put Christ at the foundation of our lives, that we will be able to discern and know these gifts of the Spirit and to use them in a way that we can not only benefit the world, but all ourselves, and just grow the kingdom in a way that is joyful. And it doesn't have to be just at church. It doesn't have to be just in the family, but it could be on the football field. It could be in whatever you're practicing. And I think it's so cool that we can combine those. And it's only going to get harder. It's only going to get scarier. Mm-hmm. And that's why we need to be on the ball and make sure that we are discerning and using these gifts wisely. And I've seen a lot of growth in my life as I've strived, is that a word, to do so.
Absolutely, it is. You wanted to be.
And striven
to do so. No, I have seen a lot of joy and blessings as I, you know, strive to just be better, be like our Savior. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thanks, both of you, for sharing your testimonies. And, you know, not much more to say. I kind of echo what both of you said. You know, just want everybody to know that I know that Christ is my personal Savior. And that when we do all things in the name of Christ, like it, you mentioned there, Chase, it says at the end, and give thanks unto God continually for the gifts that we either have or the gifts that we are blessed to receive from those around us. All right, that we practice virtue and holiness. Right, that as we do those things, we'll be able to recognize these spiritual gifts a little better, right? And just, I hope everyone gets from reading this section and understands that you have so much to offer, that the Lord has given you spiritual gifts so that you can bless not only your own family, but everybody else. So don't be sheepish with your spiritual gifts. Use them to bless other people. Find ways this week that you can go out and make someone else's life better because of the gifts that God has given you, and have an eye to see those gifts that other people have that you may or may not have that are blessing you, and thank them for it. And I, for me, that's part of being or practicing virtue and holiness. And you know, it's been a call to repentance for me reading this a little bit, to do that, be a little better about that. And I know that we'll be able to see that, and then God will show us if we ask him. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, awesome, guys. Thanks for coming on. I'm glad we could make this work as our schedules get crazier and crazier. But, Jaron, thanks for coming on, man. Absolutely. This is awesome. We're definitely, we're going to leave you on the schedule for the summer. So we want you to come back.
Sounds
and I
good.
Think our listeners will agree that they want you to come back. But thank you everyone for listening. You know where to find us. Obviously we're on BYU Radio, as we are a BYU Radio podcast, but you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. And thank you so much for listening. We really hope you enjoy these sections in D&C this week, and you can see and use some spiritual gifts this week to bless other people. So thank you always for listening. We look forward to being with you again next week on 2 Point Conversion.
2 Point Conversion is a production of BYU Radio.